shortly. Welcome everybody to June 16th Ways and Means. Could you please call roll?
Archer?
Here.
Ronk? Bartels?
Here.
Gavaris?
Present.
Haynes?
Here.
Mayo? She's on mute, but she's here. Walter?
There she is.
Here.
Donaldson?
Here.
Great. Thank you. I'd like to call the meeting to order. First off, I'd just like to thank everyone for completing the spreadsheet. I think when you take a look at it, we're closer than we thought. We're not as far as part. Oh, Ken just joined us. And hopefully this will help us to get through the process today. You know, we still are far apart on some of these, but I think we're closer than we think. So let's start off. Resolution 129, authorizing the chair to enter into an agreement with Awareness for $12,500. So we have an array. It seems average. I probably should have averaged them out, but the gist is cutting them in half or just about. Some are a third, and some are 10%. Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. I apologize for being late. I was on a call I couldn't get off of.
Heidi, let us know.
But, you know, it looked to me as if the general gist was about a half, so I'd make a motion that we cut this in half.
Second.
Legislative Walter?
I seconded that motion.
Oh, okay. On the amendment, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Eve, you're opposed?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anybody opposed to the amendment? Okay. On the amendment, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. So we're taking them, cutting them in half, which would be $6,250. Okay. Resolution 130, authorizing the chair to execute a contract with Walker Valley Chemical Engine Number 1. And this is for $10,000.
Make a motion for discussion.
Second.
Legislator Ronk.
Tracy made a motion for discussion. I seconded the motion. So this is one of the ones that I left whole on my spreadsheet. I just wanted to give my background perspective on why. We never executed a contract with Walker Valley for use of their training center, and that was part of the county, former County Executive Hines plan for a northern and southern training center. You know, Walker Valley built this out of their own funds and has since been allowing neighboring departments and then for several years any department in the county to be able to utilize it. I feel strongly that if we're not going to enter into the contract that we promised them several years ago, you know, it must be 2 years ago now, in order to, and that would, I believe that was going to be for $30,000 for, you know, maintenance of their training center, then I think that we, we should honor at least this amount of funding until the other contract gets executed. I mean, we just built the town of Ulster fire protection, organization, all of those, you know, Spring Lake, Ulster Hose and whatnot. We just built, $7 million training tower in their fire district that they get exclusive use for I forget how many days it is, but I believe it's upwards of 20 days. You know, I feel strongly that if we're not going to, you know, honor our commitment that we made years ago to Walker Valley, then we should at least honor this commitment.
Chairman Donaldson?
Well, my trouble with this is when you're entering into contracts with volunteer fire companies and you don't give it similar to others, then I don't, you know, I have some trouble with that. And when you're talking about the fire training center in the town of Ulster, that is part of the incentive, the Ulster community incentive that was given to them, that they have an exclusive 20-day training time. I think that's an incentive that's well-deserved, and not many people want that. You know, as you know, there was a big fight over that down in Marbletown about having that. So my mindset is when you start giving money to volunteer firefighters, then you have to do it for all.
Legislator Bartels, you're on mute there.
Yep. So, I mean, I think that this is different than having to give it to all because, and I zeroed it out, which I'll explain in a minute, but in this case, we're not really giving the money to the volunteer fire department. I think we're basically buying the panels that multiple fire departments use, and they had been using, especially before we created our own fire training facility. I'm wondering, one, if there's active training going on now in COVID at this facility, and two, Ken, to your comment earlier about the North-South training facility and that commitment, I don't remember that conversation coming on. Like, I think when we invested these multi-millions of dollars into a fire training facility, in large part, it was my assumption that that was going to be the county-wide training facility, the facility for all, not that we were still going to be funding a southern facility. So, and those are two separate thoughts, but yeah, that's where I was at.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I mean, I can send you the press release that the county executive, former county executive, put out about it. I can send you, you know, I'll have to just do some research. I can send you a lot of information about, I can send you a draft contract that was sent to Walker Valley from the county. You know, I think that originally the intention was to have one county fire training center and have it be in the center of the county. But, you know, from my fire department, which is across the street from my house, to Walker Valley Fire District, it's probably 15 minutes. You know, to their burn tower. From my fire department to the new county fire training center on Ulster Landing Road, it's probably 50 minutes. You know, a lot of, you know, look, for firefighter one and for county-wide training, you know, I think you're definitely going to have people travel to the town of Ulster. I don't think that you're going to have the Walkill, fire department or Shangam Valley Fire Department or even Gardner Fire Department travel up there for a drill night that they do themselves or that they and a neighboring department do. I think that you would get all of those three fire departments in Plattekill and Marlborough traveling to Walker Valley because it's significantly closer. And I think that that was the compromise plan that was put together by the county executive at the time, County Executive Pine, and, you know, the public in the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee. You know, as a compromise to move off of the site in Stone Ridge because of the public backlash from it. And I agree with you, by the way, that it's not like we're giving money to a fire department and then we have to give it to everybody because you know, Walker Valley is one of the only fire districts in the county that operates a training facility. And also, just one more thing: this contract was altered either last year or the year before to not just be for burn panels, that they can use it for other, other maintenance on the facility, but it has to be maintenance for the facility. It can't just go to anything in their fire district.
Does someone want to make a motion? Legislator Bartels?
Legislator Walters.
Legislator Walter had her hand up first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
That's okay. So, you know, I don't necessarily have the same kind of historical memory, and I guess I'm the only person who kind of fell right in the middle of nothing and everything. You know, I was on one hand compelled that some level of support might be still useful because this is an organization that's doing this training and this is, it's important to have these trainings. But at the same time, in their report to us as to how they'd be impacted if they lost this money, I was not very impressed. It basically said, we're not sure if we'll be able to share. And so it didn't seem like they'd be very hard pressed, but at the same time, I think they are providing somewhat, I kind of had this litmus of how unique is the service that they're providing, as well as how damaging would it be. And so I don't, that's why I suggested a 50% cut, because I do feel there is the uniqueness of it, but that it's not tremendously damaging, and it's a pretty small amount as it is.
Legislator Bartels.
Is training actively happening there right now?
I believe so. I can't tell you. Each department's different. I know that the Walk Hill Fire Department went back to full drills a couple of weeks ago. I do know that they've had burning at the county training center in the town of Ulster. You know, that was just recently opened. I can ask them if they're actively training. If I don't know if they've done a burn since COVID started or not, but I do know that drills are happening around the county for fire departments.
Chairman Donaldson.
I had a conversation with Kevin Peters yesterday because he asked me when they could start training again. So I don't know what that answer is. So I actually called John Milgram and I gave him that name. So he would advise me that they were not trading, but some are sort of wink and nod type of training, I guess. Not saying anything, but they are. I don't, at least that's what I got from him yesterday.
Would someone like to put a motion on the floor? Legislator Wrong.
As a compromise, I'll put a motion on the floor that we cut the funding by $5,000 this time in half. You know, it's cut in half to $5,000.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. On the amended resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Soil and Water Conservation District, Resolution 131.
Legislator Archer?
Yes.
Before we move on, I think that on 129 awareness, we didn't vote on the resolution as amended. We just voted on the amendment. So,
thank you. So on Resolution 129 awareness, as amended, 6,250, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Legislator Bartels. All right, Soil and Water Conservation District, Resolution 131. It was submitted at 91.5, and we have quite a few approaches to this. Legislator Bartels.
Okay, so, you know, I saw a couple of comments about their money in reserve, and Legislator Ronk will probably be able to better speak on that as a current issue, because when I was on the board, I had a better sense of what their reserve funds were, but I don't know what they are currently. I put in basically a third, a 33% cut. And my thinking was, you know, we're through a third of the year and they have money in reserve. I know they have some money. The reason I didn't go to half, which might have been logical just from, again, from the perspective that they may have the money to withstand the cut, is in part that they have a new director and I was hoping they would begin with new programming. But I'm open to the discussion. I just wanted to let everyone know where I was thinking.
Chair, Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Actually, since being appointed, we've only had one meeting. It was on Zoom, and I was unable to attend. So as a former board member, I had a pretty good handle on their reserves at that point, which were massive. I don't currently know if they've done any spend downs on those or anything. I would be comfortable with a third. I mean, pretty much just, for my, for everyone's edification on where my mind was coming at with these changes, I think that we should cut the ones that we had been funding by half. I could live with a third on all of the ones that I've cut to half. I also put in that we should eliminate the organizations that had not been previously funded. So that's where I came from with my thought process, just moving forward, because it's going to be a lot of the same. So, if a majority of the committee is comfortable at a third, I'd be comfortable at a third.
Chairman Donaldson.
Well, I actually had this cut more significantly. They do have a lot of reserves. And actually, right now, half the year has gone by. So I would be more comfortable with Rob's original one-half cut, 50% cut.
Legislator Bartels.
I just want to point out, though, that we keep saying they have a lot of reserves, but I don't think anybody currently on the Zoom meeting knows that for sure. We're going on previous information, and so we're making a decision based on reserves that they may or may not have. I would expect that they have significant reserves, but I don't know it for a fact. So making a cut on reserves, I don't think is strictly wise.
Legislator Walter.
So I mean, I didn't make my suggestion based on reserves. And I guess I would say that the majority of us did bring up that kind of 50%, 46,000. So I feel like it's worth giving attention to that was sort of the majority.
Chairman Donaldson.
Yeah, I mean, I think half the year is gone. And I have a sneaking suspicion. I think the reserves are close to, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I thought it was about 900,000. I mean, does Amber have any, or anybody have any handle on what the reserves are? Do they know what they are? Can they see it?
Adam, the executive director, is on the Zoom call, so we could ask him.
What are his reserves?
Hi, folks. We're not sitting on 900,000, and some of the money that we do have is allocated to different programs depending on where the funding line came from. So, for example, we have like Part C money that would be for implementation of projects, on-farm projects and practices. So it's a little bit trickier when you look at it in total as opposed to, what the funds are allocated for in their designated accounts.
So they're already encumbered for various projects, is a fair way of saying it?
Yeah, and I guess I'd just add, too, that with the change in executive director now, Gary previously wasn't taking health insurance because he was covered by his wife. We're in a totally different situation when it comes to that. So in terms of somebody mentioned like a spend down plan, we are in a point where our costs have gone up pretty considerably annually. And we're still kind of responding to that, but.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And if anybody wants detailed, I mean, I'm happy to share it. I just would have to pull it together and get it sent based on current statements. I know that doesn't really serve you now, but.
Legislator Bartels.
I also just want to point out, I think sometimes there's, these two organizations are spoken about in really different terms, but I view them very similarly. And that's, the Soil and Water Conservation District and Cornell Cooperative Extension. Soil and Water District does bring in, just like Cornell, for every dollar of county spend, it's a significant multiplier, that comes in from the city and outside, providing for jobs and pretty amazing projects in the county. And again, with, you know, the new executive director, I'm hopeful that once we're out of this COVID situation and the board sits down for more regular meetings, we can maybe talk about expanding on some of the services that Soil and Water provides, because as a former board member, I know in our trainings, we learned about a lot of things that Soil and Water districts can do. And our Soil and Water district was keeping a more narrow focus. So I'm more comfortable with the third cut, especially hearing from the executive director that their costs are on the rise and they're not sitting on 900,000. I don't know where everyone else sits.
Legislator Walter.
Sorry, I didn't actually hear an answer to the question, and it's a little difficult when not everybody who's on this list necessarily has someone here. But all I'm hearing is that historically there has been very large reserves, and the question is, are there reserves now? And I don't know, is the answer zero, there are no reserves, or I didn't really quite get the answer to that question. So I don't know if Adam wants to provide it, but.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up now, but.
I mean,
no,
everybody has budgets and things allocated. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be quoted on it and have it wrong. So it's more than zero, and it's a decent amount that was going to provide us some opportunities. Mm-hmm. As Tracy had mentioned, to look at how we can expand some program. Obviously, we're in a difficult situation now because, you know, our funding is kind of three parts. So we get state funding, we get funding under our contract with New York City, and we get funding through the county appropriation. We're hearing everything across all over the board in terms of what those underfunding sources are going to be either this year or next year. And I think that cumulative impact is where we could be in a much more dire situation in the future if everybody comes back and cuts. So I will throw that out there. If I can find a figure before you need to move on, I will provide that. Or if you, I guess you're not meeting next week, if you did want to table it and we'll follow up with more information, you know, we certainly could go that route as well and you could postpone.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I just want to make a point. It's extraneous to this particular conversation, but it pertains to the conversation and all these things. This is why I thought we were going to have a special meeting and only focus on these things, because we could actually make that meeting information available to all of these people who have these contracts. I know they sent us stuff in writing, but then if we have follow-up questions, they can be on. I think it was Eve who said, that not everyone has a representative on this call. That was why I was concerned about rushing through this in one of our regular meetings, and I voiced that last week.
Well, and we tried to reconvene after last week's meeting. I get it, but you know, we've been talking about this now for 4 months, and we've had significant information and opportunity for follow-up. So what I'd really like to do is at this juncture, let's move forward as best we can. I'll entertain a motion. Legislator Bartels?
I would make a motion to cut the funding to 61,305, which is cutting by a third, I believe.
Is there a second?
I'll second awesome. It.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
On the amended resolution? On the amendment.
Aye.
Okay. We have a first and a second on the amended resolution. Now on the amended resolution, all in favor? Opposed? So moved. RCAL resolution number 132. Oh, I'm sorry. I did get a note that I confused the vote on 130, so I apologize. We just want to make sure we have agreement on the amendment to 5,000, but all in favor on the amended resolution, please, one more time. Opposed? Thank you so much. Okay, resolution 132, RCAL, The current award is 15. I'll take a motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
I'll second it for discussion.
Thank you. Any comments? I'll entertain a motion on this resolution.
I'll move that we take the unanimous decision to cut the funding.
Okay, that would cut the funding from to zero from 15,000.
It was almost unanimous. It wasn't unanimous. I didn't realize, Donaldson. Sorry.
Okay.
No problem. I did not. I cut it down to 10, but I.
Okay.
I can go along.
On the amendment, Eve made
I'll
that
second. It.
Second. Okay. All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
On the resolution as amended.
This is Laura. Can you hear me?
Yep.
So on the amendment, you're cutting the 15,000 because they had originally asked for 30, and we cut that. At last year's budget meeting.
I'm sorry, I hear you, Laura, but we have just voted on this and it is being cut to zero.
So you're not going to fund them at all?
No, they were not funded last year.
All right, well, let's see what you do with People's Place then. Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, Resolution 133, D&H Canal Society. I'll entertain a motion for discussion.
I'll make a motion for discussion.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Entertain a motion to amend this?
I'll make a motion that we take the unanimous, this time it actually is unanimous, on our spreadsheet and cut the funding for this year.
Second. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor on the amendment?
Cutting to zero is the,
cutting
to clarify, because
yes.
It's being recorded. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. On the resolution as amended, all in favor?
Aye.
Can I
Hudson, River I apologize, yep.
Sorry. So when I'm looking at this, the appropriations crosswalk under Eve, under Walter, I don't see things at zero. Is that just a misprint? Like for this
yes.
one? Then, okay.
D&H,
yeah, I got confused.
On mine, I see D&H Canal zero and RCAL zero.
That's the correct one.
Okay. So there's two of them. I need to pull up a different one.
Those two were the only mistakes.
Okay.
So you're
Thank
good
you.
For now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hudson River Maritime Museum. I'll take a motion for discussion.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Legislator Walter.
I'll just say that I'm totally fine with what the majority said. I think I just didn't have enough information about, I would make a motion that it gets cut. I respect the will of the masses.
So you're making an emotion to cut it to zero?
Yes.
Chairman,
yes, I think this is a necessary thing that we need to look at funding, but I don't think it should be funded through legislative programs. I think what they need to do is actually look towards the IDA on this, along with any other places where they can get it through economic development money, because it is an economic development issue for the waterfront. If they can get the, you know, more water, maybe bulk areas, they're able to bring in large ships. And that makes a significant difference in the Rondout area. So my mindset was I would like the idea that they pursue that, and we need to help them pursue that.
Okay, so I have a... amendment on the table from Legislative Walter with a second from Legislator Ronk to amend it to zero. All in favor? Opposed? Okay, on the amended resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 135, People's Place. And this is for $10,000. I'll entertain a motion for discussion. Chair Donaldson, second?
I'll second it for discussion.
Thank you. Chair Donaldson. You're on mute.
I mean, originally I questioned the idea of adding for People's Place, but not making sure that we knew what it was for. But still, right now I can see, and right now we're actually in a good position compared to what it's going to be like in the next 2 months. 3 months and 4 months from now. And they are feeding and clothing the needy. And my mindset is I don't see cutting that making sense to me. And because they bring in people from all around the area, it's Kingston people, Esopus people, Ulster people, and anybody that can get there. So I have a problem cutting this.
Legislator Walter.
Thanks. Since John is on the call, I guess I'll ask the question I've been asking. Did they get Project Resilience money to assist in their mission of feeding people? John, if he's still there.
John Milgram.
Yeah, John Milgram. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Evelyn. Evelyn, would you be able to answer that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sorry. So for People's Place, did they get Project Resilience money?
They did get a small amount of Project Resilience money in the very beginning, if I remember correctly. And we are, you know, I would have to check if we're putting money into their grocery bag program right now or not. I don't know. They're not.
Is that hard to check?
It's not hard to check. It might be hard to check during this meeting, but I can try to find out. But I can say that they're not receiving like a significant amount of ongoing money at this point from us now.
Okay, Legislative Bartels and then Haynes.
So just to explain what I was thinking, the fact that we didn't fund them last year wasn't a non-starter for me. I was looking at what they're spending the money on. I remember in the deliberations last year having those same questions about what are they going to spend our funding on? Because they kind of came telling us their full litany of what they do. And I remember Legislator Ronk making a compelling argument about how there are food pantries across the county, including one in Shangum. And how do we make a decision? And I hear that, but given COVID, I had a really difficult time cutting funding, knowing that that funding was definitely going to feeding people and clothing people. And so that feeding most particularly, that really made, that I kept them at full funding. I'm open to a discussion, but again, I think the money is going to definitely going to a good, at cause that's needed. So I'm open to.
Legislator Haynes.
I do believe also that, People's Place has been great. They've been supporting everyone during COVID and pre-COVID and whatnot. However, I do believe that there are organizations that have been receiving substantial amounts of money, at least one-time payments from other local cities or municipalities. So, I'm not saying that it was not in need, but I do believe that People's Place may have received money from the city of Kingston as well. And I also do believe Family of Woodstock may have received also funding also. So it's something that you might want to just consider.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. I go back to, sort of some of the same concerns I had during budget time that I think are amplified by COVID. There are food pantries all over this county that are hurting and that could use the money. And I understand that we want to feel good about ourselves, that we're you know, helping an organization that feeds and clothes, you know, especially during a time when feeding is necessary. The food pantry I talked about in my district, you know, has seen an exponential growth in their usership. And the Lions Club in Walk Hill, which I'm a member of, hosted a drive-through barbecue and raised $3,000 for them. Also donated $1,000. My Republican committee has donated food to that and the other food pantry that covers the town of Shangum. I just, you know, if we're going to spend $10,000 feeding people, I don't think it should just be in Kingston and the surrounding area to Kingston. I respect that Legislator Donaldson says anybody that can get there is going to, you know, be able to be served there. But I also believe that, you know, if you live in Shangum and you can't feed your family, you're probably not driving to Kingston to try and, you know, go to the one food pantry that the legislature sees fit to fund. You know, I just think that if we're going to spend $10,000, we should spread it around the county and not just do it Kingston centric personally. That's why I don't think that we should spend this $10,000 at this time.
Chairman Donaldson.
You know, I can understand your argument, but the difference is this is a population center. So the amount of people that are being served here is significantly more than what's being served in Shangum. You're talking about probably 10 times that amount or more. So when you put money into things, a lot of times it's about the idea of getting the best bang for the buck, making sure that most people are actually fed. And that's a big difference. And so when you're talking about this and you're comparing, I don't think there's really a good comparison there.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. Legislator Donald, you know, through the chair to Legislator Donaldson, are you under the impression that there's 10 times the amount of people in the city of Kingston as there are in the town of Shangum?
No, I did not make that suggestion. I'm talking about the amount of people that are being actually served. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. I just think that you're making that statement on an assumption and not actual facts. I don't know that the facts, you know, back up the assumption. But
the city of Kingston, town of Ulster, and Esopus are all served very heavily by this group. It's not just city of Kingston people. I mean, city of Kingston people benefit because they can walk through it, but it is servicing a lot more than just city of Kingston. And, you know, it is a population center. You've got, like I said.
Yep. And the Loaves and Fishes food pantry that I've spoken about several times serves all of the students in the Walk Hill Central School District, which includes students in Plattekill and Gardner. You know, so again, you know, and the other one, you know, the Methodist Church in Pine Bush serves students in the Pine Bush School District, which include Walker Valley out, possibly even, you know, towards Craigsmore. You know, again, I just think that there are, you know, food pantries all over the county that are just as deserving of funding.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion on amending this resolution. Legislator Ronk?
I move that we eliminate the funding for this year.
Is there a second? Legislator Haynes? All in favor? I'm sorry?
Oh, I second.
Okay. All in favor on amending it to zero?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, I'll entertain an amendment to make a change here. Legislator Walter.
I'll propose that we cut it by 50%, $5,000.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Legislator Guevaras. On the amended resolution to reduce it to 5,000, all in favor? Opposed? Chairman Donaldson, you're opposing that. Okay.
That was so four in favor?
Four in favor. I think we had four. One, two, three, four. Who opposed? I'm sorry.
Can you repeat that? Because I got confused there.
Okay, so before us is an amended resolution to amend it to 5,000. All in favor of the amended resolution?
I'll be reluctantly in favor.
Okay. Opposed? Haynes and Donaldson. Okay. The resolution stands at 5,000. Resolution 136, community action. I'll entertain a motion for discussion.
I'll move it for discussion.
Then I'll second it.
Thank you.
Excuse me, but would you clearly state what the vote counts are at the end of each vote? Thank you. Thank you.
Legislator Bartels.
So this is one that I kept at full funding after reading their explanation again, their initial application, and then their explanation of what they're doing during COVID. I felt that it was critically important, providing gap funding for people with home instability, et cetera. That's where my mindset was. So I'm open to discussion.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. This was a typographical error on my part. I did not intend to eliminate this entirely. This is one of the ones that I would have had at a 50% cut. And it looks like a majority of the committee is at that. I'll make a motion that we reduce this by 50%.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Mary.
On the discussion?
Chairman Donaldson?
Yeah, I did not eliminate any of their funding because this funding goes towards helping people in many different ways. It helps throughout the county, particularly in the Ellenville area as well as the greater Kingston area, but it does help in other areas, but it really zeroes in on the less fortunate, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's actually a little bit of money that's able to get them into a housing, and understand that they are recognized by the federal government and one of the only recognized places that do this thing throughout the country. There is basically community action programs throughout the country. And in fact, recently we joined and actually took over part of the Sullivan County one. So the director here is also the director of the Sullivan County one. And Sullivan County puts their own money into this, but all the money here goes directly to helping people in need. And as a result, they do a great deal of outreach. They do have other things that they do for the county, such as the EAT program, which makes them certified that when they give out money, they make sure that it is checked well, that whoever is getting the money is not getting some kind of money that that they don't really deserve. So as a result, in other words, the EAT program alone, they are certified by the county. So, and the county does give them, $19,000, is part of one of their programs for certifying for EAT. So when you go there, it helps out everybody, no matter what it is. So do they recoup the entire amount with that 19? I don't believe so, but that's, part of their programs is to make sure that they're doing whatever they can. And with COVID, it's going to be, as I said before, we're in great shape right now. If you want to see what we're like 2 and 3 months from now. So these places like this and People's Place and even that place in Chuanggang, I'm glad that somebody raised money for them. They're going to need more than we ever thought they were going to need.
Legislator Walter.
So same question, John or Evelyn, did they get Project Resilience money or Legislator Haynes, if you're aware, did they get any other money to support these efforts during this time?
They have gotten a small amount of Project Resilience funding for providing grocery bags to families in need.
Thanks.
We have a resolution on the table, amendment to reduce the amount by 50,000. Legislator Bartels.
Because a majority were looking closer to the 50%, I'm wondering if the majority would consider a more modest cut, something like what Legislator Archer proposed, which I believe is in the realm of the 33%. Because I think that what Chairman Donaldson said is true. I mean, I was mostly looking at their services as it related to rental assistance and HEAP and all these things that I think are going to be compounded heavily as we head it into cold months and potentially a relapse with COVID or a second wave. So I don't know if there's any, I know we have an amendment on the table, but if anyone, just as a offering up the question, if anyone would be open to just doing a third cut.
What would that be?
That would be 19,250.
No, there.
Legislator Ronk Mail, you have the amendment on the floor.
Legislator Ronk, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I would rather move forward with the amendment on the floor, and then if that doesn't pass, I would be open to a third.
Okay. Yes, Chairman Donaldson.
Yes, and just so you know, there's been a number of people that's actually served on this and really know what they do. In fact, Reverend Collins, who is the former legislator, was on this group for I don't know how long. And, of course, it was one of the places that, you know, he insisted would always be funded. And the idea of cutting this 50% is basically really, taking food and clothing from people less fortunate is the way I look at it. And I think there's other real points where we can cut. And, the idea that, I like soil and water, and I think we need to do what we can. But, at this point, I'm worried. I'm really worried what it's going to be like 3 months
from now. So why don't we take a vote on the 50% cut? All in favor of – yes.
Can I just say something real quick? Because, I take a little bit of offense to the – if you vote for this, you're taking food and clothing away from people. You know, what I'm concerned about, aside from other things, is taking housing away from people, which is what we're going to do if we have to raise taxes and people can't afford their taxes. So you want to talk about housing instability, just wait until we have to raise taxes double digits. I really take offense to that. This is one of those things where, if you don't vote in favor of this, you're against the kids or you're against, some other vulnerable group. That's where, emotional arguments take away from rational arguments, in my opinion. I take offense to that. I just had to get that.
Okay. On the resolution to cut 50%, all in favor?
Aye.
So we have five aye. Is that correct, Eve? So Mayo, Haynes, Ronk, Guevaras, and Walter are in favor of 50% cut.
I've got to jump off the meeting. I apologize.
Okay. Opposed? The motion passed a 50% cut. Resolution 137, Arts Mid-Hudson. Now, I'm sorry. Let me, before
I'll
I
move
get
to
text.
Discuss. Right.
No. Let me, on the amended resolution of 50%, all in favor. Opposed. Okay. Same three, Archer, Donaldson, and Bartels were a no. Okay, 137, Arts Mid-Hudson. Motion for discussion?
Motion for discussion.
And second?
Second.
Okay. We had an amendment at the last meeting on the table for an amendment to cut this to 60,000. Do we have to re-vote on this at this meeting? Okay, so I'll take a motion.
You never voted on the resolution.
Never voted on it. Does it still stand, or do we have to put it back on the table?
You have to vote on it as amended if you want to change it.
Okay. We have an amendment on the table for $60,000. All in favor? Opposed? One opposition on this? Okay. On the amended resolution, all in favor to amend their resolution to $60,000.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you get on the, can you tell us what the count was on the amendment, just because I couldn't quite tell?
Well, it looked like everyone except for Legislator Donaldson.
No,
Gavaris, I missed that. Okay, so we're going to have to, can I ask you to do a thumbs up then on the reaction button? This way they can see who's voting up and who's not, okay? It will make it easier.
See you later.
Okay, so all in favor of the amended resolution of 60,000.
Do we first have to do the amendments though again, because we didn't get
no, we didn't. I thought we did already.
Right, but I think that we had more no's to the amendment than you counted.
Okay,
so I was a no on the amendment.
You were a no. Okay, sorry. Let's try again. On the amendment to reduce it 60,000, all in favor? Okay, so I'm seeing.
I'm having a hard time with this reaction button, but I'll do my best.
Are you
in favor of amending to 60,000?
Okay, so Bartels, Mayo, Archer. Is that Haynes? And that's it. Okay, opposed. Walter, Gavaris, and Donaldson. Is that correct? So the amended resolution, on the resolution as amended, all in favor?
No, I'm a no.
So anyone else in all in favor?
I'm not in favor. I'm trying to erase.
Okay. Bartels, Mayo, Haynes, Gavaris are in favor. Opposed, Walter and Donaldson. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Thank you. Motion passed. Okay. Resolution 138, Cornell Cooperative Extension. I'll entertain a motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second?
So moved.
Okay. Chairman Donaldson.
I make a motion to cut in 10%.
Okay.
Second that for discussion.
Second. All in favor of a 10% cut for Cornell Cooperative? So I have.
Sorry. What's the amount?
10%. I didn't fix
it. Okay. So 36,000.
Yeah, 36,200. Yeah.
Okay. I'll go for that.
Okay. So all in favor of the 10% cut? Walter, Archer, Donaldson, Bartels. Okay. Opposed? Mayo, Gavaris, Haynes. On the amended 10% cut on the resolution, all in favor? Archer, Walter, Donaldson, Bartels. Opposed? Haynes, Mayo, Gavaris. Thank you. Mid-Hudson Library, Resolution 139. Currently awarded 84.5.
I'll move it. Okay,
second?
Second.
Legislator Bartels.
this is another one that I left at full funding. You know, the ask from the Library Association was very specific pre-COVID, and it was to fund their online programming, which, as I recall from attending one of those meetings, includes audio books and videos available, all kinds of things that now, in the age of COVID, when many, if not all, of our libraries are closed as bricks and mortar, are providing programming, entertainment, education to our citizens. It's also to Legislator Ronk's earlier point, talking about food pantries, and I do think that's something we need to struggle with about how, being someone from the southern end of the county, how we meet our citizens across the county. The library, so far as I could tell, of every program that we have before us, is the one program that reaches every Ulster County resident equally. You can get a library card, and I got to tell you, thanks to Legislator Criswell, I used my library card to sign up for Canopy, which is an amazing online video service that's free and has amazing videos for my 9-year-old. Thank you, Peter. And access to really incredible artistic programming for adults. So I think that we owe it to the libraries to follow through on the full funding. They've contracted for this service, and our citizens all have it available to them, and that was on the promise of the funding. So I really would like to see this stay at full funding.
Chairman Donaldson.
Yes, we've been funding it this way when we created this formula quite a while ago, back in 2007, I think it was. And the formula has worked unbelievably good. We've worked through this, in other words, what they are, any human being that's got a library card at Ulster County has access to an unbelievable amount of programs. And in fact, I have an old 1999 Mazda truck, a little truck. And of course, when I get that repaired, I go to a guy that's, you know, does a lot of stuff on the side, and you know, that's how he works. And he uses Chilton's, which if you wanted to buy Chilton's, I think it's about $1,000 a year for the program, in order to use the program. He gets it for free with his library card. He can pull up my truck and say, okay, this is where the parts are, and he can order and get it fixed. It saves him $1,000 a year. So the idea that people are able to use this no matter where they are, we used to actually fund the libraries more than twice this amount. And then when we cut them, they actually, because we were funding individual libraries, which was foolish, this funds the Library Association. So I would support the full amount, or, I mean, I can understand people, and possibly the 10%.
Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I just, all for those that don't know, sorry if you all do know, you know, the programs that both the chair and I are mentioning are but a small sampling of what's available through the online services. You can do Rosetta Stone. You can learn a new language. I believe they still have Ancestry.com. I mean, it's a very, very robust set of programming that I think is really a lifeline for a lot of our citizens, especially at this moment.
Let's say Walter.
Yes. I think libraries are invaluable. If there was a way of tripling the funding, if that made sense in the world, I would do it. But in this, in light of what's going on and moving along, I think they'd understand a small cut. And so I'd like to propose a 10% cut.
We have an amendment of 10%. Do I have, by Legislator Walter? Do I have a second? Legislator Haynes? All in favor of
may we speak on it?
Yes, Chairman Donaldson.
Understand that what this does is every library benefits from it, because they would not be able to afford to do these programs on their own. So that's how they're able to do this through the Library Association. So any library by themselves might be able to do a couple of the programs, but this goes through the association, which means every library can use these, and it saves those other libraries money for other things that they're doing.
Legislator Bartels.
I also don't believe that this funding even fully covers all of the programming that they do remotely. So I'm concerned that doing a 10%, you know, if it's something other than symbolic, I could, I guess, be persuaded, but I feel like they really need this money and we made this commitment and this is for programming that they're currently providing. So I would really like to see the full funding move.
Okay, so we have a motion to amend it by 10%, made by Legislator Walters, seconded by Legislator Haynes. All in favor of a 10% cut? Mayo, Haynes, Walter, Archer. Opposed? Gavaris, Donaldson, Bartels. 10% cut. On the resolution as amended, all in favor?
Can I speak? I just want the record to reflect. I'm going to vote for it. I'm not happy about the 10% cut, but I want to make sure it moves to the floor, and I don't want it to be reflected that I'm opposed in any way to the libraries.
Okay. On the resolution as amended, Legislator Walter is a yes. Haynes, Gavaris, Donaldson, Mayo, Bartels. Yes, Chairman Donaldson, please.
I'll be a yes on this. I believe what they'll do is they'll have to prioritize some of the programs, and that's what they're going to end up doing.
Okay, thank you.
Nobody's opposed to the libraries. I mean, this is something that has to get done. It's very difficult. This doesn't mean we're in opposition to the library.
No, nobody said it was.
They'll
have to cut some of the programming.
Listen, this is painful for all of us. None of us want to be cutting any of this. So I think we're all going on record with that, but we need to move forward. The next one is, I think we have all our votes incorrect. Amber? Good? Okay. Resolution 140, don't be a monster. I'll entertain a motion for discussion.
So move.
Second.
Second.
Okay, Haynes and Walter. Or was that Mayo? I'm sorry. I couldn't tell. Okay. Any discussion on this? Chairman Donaldson.
It's a small amount. I put the money in for the funding. It's a small amount, but I am not committed to that, and everybody else decided that they were going to zero it out. I'll just go along with the program.
Legislator Bartels.
And I would make a motion that we move their funding to zero.
Second.
Okay, do I have a second? Okay, Legislator Bartels and Walter. All in favor on the amendment? Archer, Walter, Haynes, Mayo, Bartels, Donaldson, Gavaris. On the amended resolution, all in favor? Everyone, no one's opposed. Thank you. Resolution 141, Family of Woodstock.
This is for discussion.
For discussion by Bartels, seconded. Donaldson. Legislator Bartels.
So last week I think I mentioned in Ways and Means that I reached out to Commissioner Iaposi on this contract just to try to get an understanding of what the county does for supervised visitation. This is a supervised visitation contract with Family of Woodstock, one of the many contracts we have with family. Commissioner Iaposi told me that supervised visitation is mandated by the court, and so it's something that Ulster County does provide, and no child would ever not receive supervised visitation from the county. He didn't know the history of how it came that we were splitting off some of the visitation to Family of Woodstock. And he had asked for a month to reach out to Michael Berg and talk about the program. Initially, some of the initial information that we surmised is that this may be supervised visitation that's happening in Family of Woodstock's homeless shelter to make for less disruption for the children in the shelter. I'd ask that we postpone this one resolution for a month, any action on it, because I'd like to give Commissioner Iaposti the chance to reach out to Michael Berg and to understand, and then to come back to us and tell us whether it's something he can bring in-house for this year or whether he wants to continue the funding. But regardless of the outcome moving forward for next year, I really believe that this is something that once he has a handle on it, should be run through his office, because it's something that he deals with on a day-to-day basis and clearly should live in social services.
Chairman Donaldson. I'm unsure about that contract cut in. I believe it was something that they began doing family in the middle of the year, and somehow it got into legislative programs. And I do have a problem with it being there, because this non-custodial supervised visitations are mandated by the state, as Tracy pointed out. My concern is that I would hope that they're not being stopped at any point. They're still doing them, but I think there may be, because of the COVID, I guess maybe they're being called off a certain amount, but they still need to do those, because if you think about it, if you're a non-custodial parent and you don't get to see your child, not every one of them are in homeless shelters. Some of them have quite a bit of money. In fact, as a result, you would end up having a lawsuit, because if we didn't carry this out, because by the state it's required. And so I don't have a problem with postponing it for the month, until we get a better handle on
Are you making the motion to postpone, Chairman?
I'll do that with Legislator Bartels, because like I said, this can't go on more than a month. And I have a feeling it probably will continue with family doing it. I don't see them bringing it in-house because of the cost. But having said that, I really think it should be shifted over to their budget in social services. It should be a legislative program, I think.
Chairman, Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. And I just want to assure everybody that Commissioner Iaposti did assure me that no child would not be served. And it's his aim to get an understanding of the situation, and we'll revisit it next month.
Okay, on the proposal, Legislator Walter.
It seems that Legislator Petit wanted to say something.
Oh, thank you.
No, actually, that was on the Don't Be a Monster. That was my, that was long over.
Sorry.
Thank you, though.
Sorry, Legislator Petit, I did not see that. Okay, on the resolution to postpone, on the action to postpone, all in favor? Okay, unanimous, thank you. So it'll be postponed till next month. Okay, resolution 142, Dispute Resolution Center. This is CASA. I'll take a motion, entertain a motion for discussion.
For discussion.
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Chairman Donaldson.
Yeah, I second for the motion. I also want to point out the CASA program. It is going to continue once the courts start operating. I would assume they could handle a 10% cut, because of the program not being handled, but they do have to train a great deal of volunteers. So what they're probably behind on that training at this point. And once they open up, they're going to have to really go out for that training, which is ends up costing, that's the money that they are ending up paying for the training. the volunteers, of course, are just that. They're volunteers, and if people don't know what the CASA program is, it is a court-appointed special advocate. That's what CASA stands for in family court. And what they do is you'll have social services there. There may be an attorney for the, the spouse, another attorney for the other spouse. This person is only concerned with the child. And that's what they do. They advocate for the child. I've seen them take on social services. I've seen them take on attorneys. And they do a report to the judge. So my mindset is I think it's important that this thing is funded, and I'm concerned that, you know, we don't want to lose this.
Any other, Legislator Guevaras.
I'd like to make a motion to reduce the amount to $20,000.
I'll second that.
Okay, on the amendment, all in favor? Haynes, Guevaras, Mayo. Opposed? Archer, Walter, Donaldson, Bartels. If I may, Legislator Bartels.
You go.
No, go ahead.
Well, I put in for, I think, effectively a 10% cut, as the chair suggested. What I actually spoke a little bit to Commissioner Iaposi about CASA and got a little bit of inside information about that program and how they work directly with the judges. I don't know how active court is right now. I would assume that some of this court has to still be happening because families are still in dispute and these things can't be put off. But I would be open to Legislator Archer. I did a third. So I would be open to a third cut in the spirit of compromise.
You'll second that. So the amendment to a third, which is 26.5, was made by Legislator Bartels, seconded by Legislator Mayo. All in favor of them?
I guess I'm just worried about whether this is similar to the one before of being clear whether this is really important, necessary, and has to be covered. I don't know enough. I don't know if anyone else could speak to that, but, on face value, it really seems crucial, but I'm not as familiar with,
Chairman Donaldson, would you like to respond?
I know I had to, at one time, sat down with the Commissioner of Social Services, the attorney who was sending letters out that were almost discouraging CASA members. And that was sort of a battle because CASA basically took on social services on a couple issues because of what they felt they were not doing for the child. So this advocacy is, can we go without it? Yep. Can those kids go without it? I don't think so. I don't think it would be wise. I mean, I really think that this is a program that needs to be there. And I know that the family courts use it all the time. They advocate, they assign a volunteer. And we've had volunteers, but all the volunteers are professionals, I can tell you that. They come from that walk. And in fact, one of the volunteers we had a couple years ago was the person that took care of social services. It was like the second in command in Orange County in California, which means she oversaw more employees than all of Dutchess County. I mean, all of Ulster County.
So we have a Legislator Bartels.
We also did receive a letter from the head of the Dispute Resolution Center saying they were notified they're going to be getting a cut in their state funding. I mean, one of the reasons that I proposed the third as a compromise is that if the courts, if it has been quieted during the height of the COVID period, that's essentially a third of the year. You know, it's March, April, May, but mid-March. That's my thinking. But I do think when the courts are fully back in action, it's going to be ramped up heavily. And my impression is the program is very valuable, especially to the judges and giving them a direct advocate for the child. So I think it's something that we need to continue to support. Again, this is another one that I think we should be talking to the Commissioner of Social Services or whatever department we end up having to move it in. Maybe it's not that one, but it probably shouldn't be something running through the legislature long term. But I definitely think we do need to keep funding
them. Are you going to continue with your amendment to a third, Legislator Bartels?
It's still on the floor. I don't know where.
Yes, we don't have a second, though. Do we have a second?
Did.
Oh, yes. Okay. Legislator Mayo. Okay.
Can I say something also? Can I?
Yes, Chairman.
I mean, it should be somewhere in probably the budget of the executive, but I don't, the problem with it funding it through social services is that then they are answerable to social services. And we want them answerable to the child. And that's the whole idea. Like, for instance, I pointed out, we had a dispute with social services because CASA questioned what they did on a particular child. So there was this thing that came down on CASA that I had to actually, I intervened with when I was the vice chairman under Parity. So we ended up fixing the problem, but it was a problem at points. So having social services overseeing it might be problematic, and I think we need to think about that, who oversees that, because it is it's an issue that we have to think about.
Okay, so we have an amendment on the floor to cut a third to bring it to 26.5. All in favor? Bartels, Mayo, Haynes, Archer, Guevaras. Opposed. Walter Donaldson. On the amended resolution to bring dispute resolution cut one third, all in favor? Okay. Haynes, Guevaras, Mayo, Bartels. Opposed. Walter and Donaldson. Thank you. So moved. All right, 143, UPAC. I'll entertain a motion for discussion.
I'll move to discuss.
Second?
Second.
Okay. On this one, we're all over the place. Yes, Legislator Walter.
I just wanted to say I confirmed with Legislator Ronk. He meant to put 12,375.
Okay.
A 50% cut.
The cut.
I had suspected as much.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion, Legislator Bartels.
I just want to explain. I mean, I put mine to zero because they're essentially shut for the season, and I think they'll expect to be shut. I don't want that to be a long-term hold. I think of it as a temporary for this year. But that was my thinking on my cut. I'm interested to hear what everybody else thinks.
Legislator Haynes.
I mean, do we know that they're shut for the rest of the year? Has that been deemed? Okay. All right. Thank you.
I don't know that it's been deemed, but I think that I would, in fact, looking at Peter shaking his head, I would say it's not been deemed, but I don't know how optimistic we are about having large gatherings. I've listened to the governor's brief about theater. I know that Broadway's been postponed till
indefinitely.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing?
Legislator Criswell, yes, please.
So even though they are closed, they still have to pay their electric bill, and that's what this is for.
I don't agree with that.
Chairman Donaldson.
Well, technically, Senator Criswell is technically correct. That's the way they wanted the money to be brought in. you know, so it went directly to their electric bill, and that's what it does. But having said that, when we're dealing with all the other issues, we have to consider that. I mean, when we are cutting to those that are feeding and clothing the needy, and I also believe, and I support UPAC. I go to the many of the events there, along with the idea, I support the idea that they get money, and I would support a 50%. That, you know, sort of that's what in between. And that's the people I've sort of thrown in there.
But
they do have the ability to raise money, something that my concern was with the, you know, Mid-Arts and Arts does not have that kind of ability, and they give to small artists. So, I mean, when I looked into two of these, I would have rather seen more money in the Mid-Arts and Arts.
So are you making, so Chairman Donaldson made the motion to cut them by 50%. It was seconded by Legislator Walter.
It seemed like that was the, most people supported that. So I went with the consensus.
Okay.
We're sort of one, some had nothing and some had 50%, but.
Okay, all in favor of the 50% cut? Mayo, Haynes, Walter, Bartels, Donaldson, and Archer. Opposed? Guevaras. Okay, all in favor of the amended resolution to cut UPEC by 50%? All in favor? Opposed? Everyone but John. John opposed. Guevaras opposed. Okay. Well, we got through this. I know it's been difficult, but I thank you all for your hard work. And, you know, we have some tough news for the folks out there, but, you know, hopefully next year we'll have a better response. All right. Moving on to Resolution 191, establishing a policy.
Can you give me 1 minute.
Quickly, before you move on, what was the percentage of cuts for the entire thing that we ended up with?
I don't have a running tab. Do you, Amber?
If you give me just a few minutes, I can work something up.
That would be great. Thank you.
We'll go back to the resolutions.
Yes. Resolution 191, establishing a policy for funding non-county organizations.
I'll move to discuss.
A second. Okay, Legislator Haynes. Sorry, my screen just went
There's
wonky.
A request that this is postponed by Legislator Ronk.
Okay.
I'll agree with that postponement. I think we
Seconded
need
Seconded by Donaldson. Okay, all in favor of postponement? Opposed? All in favor. Thank you. Resolution, I apologize. Yep. Legislator Bartels.
I agree with the postponement, but I think, especially in light of what we've just done, you know.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Sorry, I said, especially in light of what we've just gone through in this committee, I'd like to make a commitment that we're not only going to look at this resolution, that we're going to talk about where some of these programs should go more appropriately, including dedicated arts funding that was once floated by the previous executive. I think we have to entertain all of this, and sooner rather than later, because we're heading into the budget cycle. So it's, I know the resolution that legislators Ronk and Petit have proposed have everything coming through Ways and Means, but I think that we can be even more specific and possibly potentially get some of these things into more appropriate sectors within the executive budget or other programmatic initiatives. So ideally for next month, we can start that conversation and conclude it relatively quickly, because the budget cycle is going to be starting a couple months thereafter.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on to Resolution 196, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of 50. Entered into by the county, the trustees of Columbia University, This is to increase funding from the HEAL Committee's grant from April 1, 2020 through March 31st, 2023 for an additional $501,853.26, making the total contract, I think this number is wrong, $791. Didn't we get that corrected? Natalie?
I'm not sure, I'd have to look. It was corrected. I believe Amber has the right number, but she's obviously working on something else at the moment, and it needs to be amended to the corrected value both here and on the floor.
Which is 600 and change, correct? I don't have it in front of me. Hold on.
I'm going to pull up Amber's email from earlier. Sorry.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's kind of hard to do here. Hold on.
So the correct total amount is $696,148.26.
Great. Thank you, Mark. I'll take a motion.
All right, I make a motion to change it to the number that Mark just gave.
Okay. Do I have a second on for discussion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Mark, some of the things that we still have a concern about is not, we've corrected the number on the total, which I appreciate. We still are showing a full-time data surveillance person when, in fact, this is a contract for that's the next one. But they kind of go in together, 208 and 196. We've already had a group functioning. We're going to be asked in the 208 to approve positions. And at this juncture, I feel like this whole piece has been an infringement on legislative powers with regards to establishing jobs, moving CSEA jobs, replacing them with management jobs, establishing salaries without bringing it before the legislature. And we've had people now in these jobs for how many months?
Couple months. I'd like to just speak on the resolution separately if I could, but this resolution is accepting $566,000 in grant money from Columbia University for desperately needed opioid addiction prevention work. Our opioid deaths are on have ticked back up and are on the rise overall. Opioid overdoses are on the rise, and we really need to have every resource available to be able to fight this addiction. This contract does that.
Chairman Donaldson?
I have this resolution 196, I don't have a problem with this going forward. I think since accepting the money, 208 is a different issue. And at this point, so I'd motion to move this one, 196, unless there's something that is telling that we shouldn't move it.
Well, here's what I would say, and I'll defer to our attorney on this one. You know, they've been submitting invoices. They've been getting payment all along. They've put people in jobs. They made major moves, people throughout the organization to move people in here, and they've backfilled their old jobs. At this juncture, I think we should talk about this whole process and how we move forward in a very different way. And I don't think by postponing this for a month that it's going to impact us.
What I'm saying is, I think 208's the issue that needs to be the one that we need to deal with. I mean, this one here is accepting the money, right?
Correct. It's actually the approving the contract.
I would like to hear Council Rigucci's response to this. Is he with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Great, thank you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm in my car, sorry about that. I mean, I was speaking generally to the issue of whether we could pass one and postpone the other. As this is a contract, and Mark knows probably as well, and I'm not speaking for him, but I would suspect he would agree, it wouldn't be the cleanest if we just accepted the money without approving the positions that the particulars and the requirements of the contract require. So I would suggest that if there is the will of the body, we postpone both or none, depending on what the will is. But not one and not the other.
Chairman Donaldson.
All right. Well, after hearing that, I mean, when we take a look at Resolution 196 and Resolution 208, if you don't mind, Chairman Archer, if I speak on that.
Please. 208.
All right. The county executive transferred three existing county employees to a non-union management position, which did not exist in the 2020 budget. Funds were simultaneously transferred from the three union employee positions that were provided for in the 2020 budget. This was done with no comment of this to the legislature or no knowledge of this with the legislature. The transfers were accompanied by considerable salary increases, and now 208 seeks to retroactively obtain legislative approval of the executive's unilateral salary increases that he set without any input from the legislature. And by charter, we are empowered to set salary on all officers and employees paid from county funds and for employees not covered by the collective bargaining agreement. So the legislature also approves all labor contracts and amendments, and the charter does not grant the executive the authority to increase salaries of county employees unless the salary range has been previously approved by this body. And it increased falls within our approval of salary range. Hence, the executive's increase in the salaries of the three county employees identified in Resolution 208 is a serious encroachment into the power of the legislature. Basically, it's power of the burps. The idea that these positions were advertised in December without notifying the legislature is unacceptable. Though these positions are paid for by the Columbia University, which has become a rather latecomer for conducting studies on opioids, it still doesn't excuse the salary set without legislative approval. So I would ask to postpone this and 208.
On Resolution 196, I have a motion to postpone. Is there a second? I'll second it. Legislator Bartels?
Second it.
Okay. All in favor of postponement till next month?
Can I speak on this? Or? I don't get to speak on this?
Yep. Well, I didn't see your hand up. Sorry, we were voting. Go ahead, Mark.
I mean, again, much of this contract and the funding goes towards other interventions other than staff. So as far as what legislative council said, and you know, I know he didn't try to put words in my mouth, but the fact that he was talking about it being clean, by postponing both of these resolutions, you are affecting the ability of the HEAL task force to be able to spend money again in a time where we are backsliding on opioid overdoses and fatalities. You are taking one of the resources away from us as a county government, because you don't, you have concerns over the process of some staffing positions that are fully processed, and I've heard your concerns and we've spoken about it many times. But again, I want to bring us back to the issue at hand, which is this is desperately needed funding. This is putting future funding at risk from Columbia University, and the idea that you're willing to postpone even for a month in a time when we are desperately needing these additional resources because people are dying, because you don't agree with the way that the executive's office hired staff, which again was out in the open. We posted positions. Did we let you know? No, we actually let the entire county know by posting them online. One of them was a new position. At the time, we hired two new positions. One of the people left. We then converted a CSEA position to a person that was doing data work and will now spend half of her time in this HEAL study and the other half continuing on the work. But the fact that you're willing to just delay this because of a process issue is disappointing.
Well, and I will just say one thing, and it's very disappointing that when you put in an amendment in February for the additional monies that you received from Columbia, you didn't put the jobs in, you never shared the information with this body, and you went and you moved forward as if there was no accountability here. So I hear what you're saying, and we all believe this is important, but you've been operating without a contract, without approval all this time, so what's different? Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So a couple things. One is, you know, I'm concerned about the allocation matching the contract because that can be a problem. I know that they are regularly being audited and things have to work. And maybe I'm reading things wrong, but it, you know, the resolution, it seems that the total salaries came to about $377.70. While in the actual contract, the number was more like 357. And so I'm a concerned, besides the other things that were mentioned, I'm concerned that these numbers aren't matching. It is true, not a large proportion, but a proportion, the 144 is for discretionary use to do the intervention. But as far as I understood, part of that was a contract with Samadhi, which I don't know where that's at right now, but you know, Samadhi was delivering the service actually for free, and we're happy to be provided some support in order to do it. It is true that more we do, the better in this county, but it's also not true that this county is not doing a lot already. We have many organizations that are actively working to fight the opioid epidemic. I do appreciate having some money from Columbia, but I think you're characterizing it slightly more dramatic than not the problem, but the heroship of Columbia a little bit more than is reality.
Chairman Donaldson.
You know, the IBA area, this is a more serious issue for the legislature. You're arbitrarily setting salaries, and it's a serious encroachment on the legislature's power and the ability to check on the executive. That's why we have that power. And advertising positions on the web in December is not an idea of telling us that you're going out hiring these positions. That's not the way it's done. It's done very simply by, yeah, you can give me a call. You can have called the chairman of Ways and Means. You could have spoke about it in a leadership meeting saying, hey, look, and we're putting out this advertising in December because we have this money coming in. And these are the salaries that we'd like to set them at. But that's not the way it worked. It worked however you wanted it to work. Putting the positions on the web, not saying anything to us, setting salaries without us knowing it, moving positions around. The only reason we found out is our our finance people can find out backhanded, which makes it also another issue, making it difficult for them to actually track what we need to track. So, unfortunately, this is being postponed. If you wanted to delay on someone, lay it on yourself.
And I would just like to say, we hear this all the time, and we have always approved funding, and nothing changes. So we can't throw out the charter every time that there's a crucial need. And as I said, you've already been getting money. We asked for the audit from May 31st. We didn't get that. So, you know, we have to sit down and talk about how do we move forward collectively. We're all concerned about the same issues. We all want to help fight this epidemic that is the scourge in our county. And but we can't do it single-handedly. We have to do it collectively. Mark?
So I just want to bring back one piece, and I may not have said this yet, and so I apologize, but when we fill a position as a fill as, it's meant as a transitional fill as that we then will bring to the legislature, which is what we're doing now. Can I apologize that we didn't do it in February? One of these positions wasn't created until May, and we brought it to the meeting, basically the next meeting. That's one of the positions that you all, many of you, have an issue with the process. We created it as a fill as, and then that's a transitional period. We then bring it to the legislature, which we did at the next meeting. The other two, again, one was creating taking a full-time CSEA position, making it half Department of Health and half HEAL. The other was a project manager that we had to have in order to move forward with the second part of the funding for year two. I understand that we should have, you know, your part about bringing it in February. But we are now here asking for it in June. It's a few months later. We've had a pandemic. And quite frankly, we have a second epidemic, you know, issue where, again, I'm going to say we have people dying of overdoses. And I don't think that I'm overselling the impact of this HEAL grant because it brings a lot more than the $566,000. And if they see that we aren't even aligned and able to continue, then they won't move us forward to the next round, et cetera. And so, frankly, I think this is very important, and I think we're in a dire position.
Legislator Bartels, did you have something you wanted to say? Okay. On the resolution to postpone, all in favor? Donaldson, Bartels, Gavaris, Archer, Walter. Opposed? I'm sorry, and Mayo. Opposed, Haynes. Resolution 196 is postponed till next month. Resolution 208.
Can I just clarify on that? Because Dave actually, his motion was for both.
For both? Okay. So Dave, you want to have a motion to postpone Resolution 208 as well?
Yes.
And do we have a second on that?
It wasn't blocked, so let's move it first.
It wasn't blocked, so yes.
He said he wanted to do both, but he didn't make a motion to block, so.
Right. So are you seconding Legislator Bartels?
I'm moving 208 for discussion.
Okay. All right.
I'll second.
Okay. Legislator Bartels, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, now the floor is...
Pardon me?
No, I'll leave it to the chairman because he had a motion.
Okay.
Well, I just had the motion to postpone. I gave my reasonings before, so they are the same with this. I'm doing that because the advice by an attorney that if we're going to postpone them both.
On the postponement, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor of postponement of Resolution 208 till next month? Opposed? Legislator Haynes.
This has been postponed till next month.
Okay. Resolution, I think that's it. No. Resolution 220. Pardon me?
Two more.
My pages were rearranged. Resolution 220. Pardon me?
My iPad is running out of juice.
Okay, I'll hurry up. Authorizing the upgrade of the live scan equipment and software for the Sheriff's Department for the Ulster County, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $175,000, and the authorizing the issuance of 175 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof.
I'll move it. Discussion. Second.
Discussion? Okay, all in favor?
All right.
Opposed?
No opposed.
Resolution 231, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 2020, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to local law number 5 of 1991, a local law adopting a hotel and motel room occupancy tax to clarify the tax law's application to short-term and vacation rentals, to be held on Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 at 6:15. Move.
I'll move it.
Seconded. Discussion, Chairman Donaldson.
It was a concern by Legislator Bellardy in reference to the money for housing being taken out, all the, the idea about housing. He was quite upset about that. I'm not sure if he's going to support it as is. So I'm unsure of if we have the total support. I mean, is the housing issue, does that have to be taken out? Could anybody address that, please?
Legislator Walter.
So I'm also very upset that the housing was taken out, but I understood, I mean, the way I'm understanding it is, since currently there is not a committee, a department, there's not a specific place to put it right now in the county. It felt vague, and if we had a department of housing or something like that, that we could allocate it to, but because there was no specific place, it felt uncomfortable to some to include it. I would express on the floor the commitment to utilizing this funding towards affordable housing and dealing with our housing stock problems. I think that this resolution has taken many, many years to get passed, and if we could get one piece done now, then we can add on the other elements when it makes sense in a logical manner. But I'm behind him. I agree 100% with his in concept.
Legislator Bartels.
So my understanding in terms of the spirit of the amendment, which originated with Legislator Guevaras, and he could speak to it, I'm sure. But my understanding of the spirit of the amendment wasn't that there was no place to put the money, and therefore it was vague. It was that the local law, as amended previous to his amendment, did not actually address the housing issue. It just authorized and required the contracting for third-party collection of taxes with short-term rental providers. I concur with Legislator Walter, and I believe Legislator Guevaras will speak for himself, concurs as well, that there's a commitment to provide some of this funds, if not all of this funds. I've heard a whole range, depending on who you're talking to, for affordable housing in the county. And I do see this as the first step. That would be the next required step, and I believe we'd have to do that potentially through municipal home rule request, changing the allocation of the funds, because at the state level, the law says that the percentage up to 150,000 goes to tourism. But that's something that I think we need to robustly undertake in the immediate following of this passage. You know, I spoke with Legislator Perry today, and I recalled that he was the first sponsor of a short-term rental piece of legislation, and that was back in 2006. Many of the same arguments that he was facing back then are the ones that we're hearing circulating now in terms of questions of legality of third-party collection. And I think it sort of flies in the face of the reality that we see when we know that our executive offices are negotiating with Airbnb for one, when we know that 29 counties across the state already have these agreements, that they haven't been tested and they haven't been challenged by the state. So while the state may be lagging on getting up to speed in terms of allowing for third-party collections in a purely legalistic way, I think what we have effectively done, and I said to Legislator Parity today that I admit I was on the other side of the argument back then, and that was a mistake, because what we've effectively done since then is left a lot of money on the table. And had we passed it in 2006, and had we had the robust conversation, 2016, and had we had that robust conversation about where to actually appropriate the funds rather than the general fund, we would be in a better place. So I think time is of the essence. I think we should pass this resolution today and then get on to the discussion about how we allocate the funds. I also, just really quickly, I'm sorry I'm speaking so long. I also want to say that I do not believe that our passing this resolution will hinder negotiations with Airbnb at all. We know that new things have happened in just the last days in terms of the Airbnb lawsuits against San Francisco and New York City. And in fact, the legislature in various forms of writing could direct the executive's office what we'd like to see in that contract. But in greater fact, the executive's office can say to Airbnb that this contract has to go back to the legislature for approval. And we know the legislature has certain will in terms of getting information on municipal rentals, et cetera, and that they're not going to approve it without that. But we don't believe we'll approve it without that. So I think we're in a good place to move this forward tonight.
Legislator Walter.
Thank you. Oh boy, so much was said. So I think the in terms of the legality to this, because I think that's a sticking point for many people in the legislature. Two things. One is, you know, minority counsel's here, but when he was asked specifically about this in laws and rules, his answer about the legality was the state has neither supported or rejected it. I mean, he used more lawyerly terms, but he didn't say straight out, you can't do it. He just said the state has not commented one way or another, positively or negatively. And it's been several years that other counties have been doing this. I imagine it's sort of like certain adultery laws where they're on the books, but nobody's actually enforcing them. I would like to know, and unfortunately, I don't think county council, in the past, council was held back by this too. And obviously, since they are proceeding with some kind of contract, county council feels comfortable. And so I don't know if Evelyn or John could speak to where county council feels in terms of the state, that concern over a third party being able to collect. And whether even they're considered a third party as opposed to the actual party. But so do you have a sense of where your council, why they're comfortable now when perhaps a year or two ago they weren't?
Yes, we did look into this, and I would say that I think this is the one thing that is not a problem with this resolution. I'm looking for the language, but essentially we could make them a tax collection agent for us.
That's important for us to know.
Concerned about that. There are, of course, a number of other concerns.
I got that. But the one I'm asking about is the legality, because I do know that on the Republican caucus, that was a primary conversation, is whether you're actually allowed to do this. So you're saying from the county council's perspective that there's not a concern with legality in terms of the state allowing this to happen?
Not with that issue of legality. There, okay. It's the issue of the contract that Airbnb proposed contradicting our local laws and needing to sort that out.
Okay, but the in terms of the, I'm referring to more the state law. So thank you for answering.
Chairman Donaldson.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming, and it's time to move forward on it. We've left a lot of money at the table, and I know. I actually put a resolution in, but apparently I did not, because I've argued them so many times and supported them. I think there's been four of them so far. It came forth with Elliot Auerbach pushing the agenda way back, and then we were advised that, oh no, you couldn't do it, by the county executive at that time, the then county executive. And they kept making that argument. But yet more and more places, municipalities, counties, and so on, have done the exact same thing and have been collecting the money, and we have not. So I would like to move forward on this, and I make a motion to call for the vote.
A second.
Lynn, may I say something first?
Yes, go ahead, Evelyn.
I just want to bring to everybody's attention the role that those decisions from New York City and San Francisco may have in what we want to do here. So the issue that we've had with Airbnb in the past was that they wanted us to not have our registration system, that we would get rid of our visibility for who was doing hosting, and they would not share any individual data with us. And now when we spoke with them a couple weeks ago, they indicated some willingness to move on the registration, but were absolutely adamant that they would not share individual host data with us. Now they have agreed to in New York City and California. And they've done it there because there were local laws that required it, and they have been in a long legal process with them. We are just reviewing those decisions now to see what the implications may be for what we would prefer to ask from them under these new circumstances. And I would respectfully strongly suggest holding off on this until we're able to, A, have a renewed round of negotiation with them under these new circumstances, and B, consider whether you might want to put some stronger language into the local law to require those things. So I understand the sense of urgency here, but I think this would be an inopportune time to disrupt the negotiations we're having with them. The other thing I just want to say, if I may, I haven't seen if there's updated text to the local law from last week. I haven't seen it. The old version is still on the website. But I just want to make sure you all understand that any money you directed to housing from this right now would come from other county programs.
Legislator Walter.
Yes, so there's no money directed to housing. The original language of 10% or 150,000, whichever is the most, stands. There's no other allocations in there. And I think, as Legislator Bartels brought up either this time or in the past, this is for a public hearing. When it comes time for a contract, we are going to have to be regrouping on this again, and that would absolutely be the time where, if necessary, mm-hmm. language has to go into our local law encouraging these kinds of things, we can add that. This is for a public hearing, and it's for a public hearing a month away, and so I see no problem with proceeding this way. Again, when it's time for the contract, we're going to have to regroup on that and the kind of language that's going to need to be in there. This is just saying proceed.
I made a motion for the vote. Could we move on this, or are we going to beat it to death?
All in favor of resolution?
Wait, Lynn? Lynn, can you hear me?
Legislator Rock is back, yes.
Thank you. I'm only back on audio, so I can't vote because I'm driving hands-free right now on the way back from the hospital. But I did want to weigh in on this. Again, I just want to reiterate some of the comments I made last night and possibly last week that, you know, the law, it, you know, and listening to a little bit of, you know, Eve's ending there, you know, I don't believe the law is legally sufficient as it stands. It sounds as if Legislator Walter is interested in amending it, you know, after or before we vote in a contract. I just don't understand why we would move forward on a public hearing and waste the taxpayers' time and money on having a public hearing if we already acknowledge we're probably going to have to amend it again. I don't understand what the rush is.
Chairman Donaldson.
Well, first I want to suggest if you're, instead of driving hands-free, put your hands on the wheel. And the other thing is, what's that?
I made the snare sound, like when you make a joke.
Okay, no problem. But this is a public hearing, and they're negotiating, and I think we should move forward on it. So I'll be a yes.
All in favor of the resolution? Okay, that's Walter, Bartels, Gavaris, Donaldson, opposed, Haynes, and Mayo.
It's, sorry, can I just, because I'm not sure when Legislator Ronk came in, and I just wanted to make sure he heard.
The vote was taken.
Yeah, it's, can I just mention, because he came late, that the question that he had brought up, that Evelyn had clarified that county council assessed that they could make Airbnb a tax collecting agency, and they do not feel that it is breaches the state law. So I just wanted to make sure he knew that information in case he hadn't heard.
Thanks. I don't agree. I don't know that our council agrees, and I would love.
I just wanted to make sure you heard her. That's all.
Understand. I appreciate it.
That's okay. I just wanted to make sure you heard.
Resolution passed. And Amber, do you have an update of where we are with all the legislative program changes?
Yes, it's a total decrease of $221,095, and it's roughly 26%.
Okay, great. Legislator Bartels.
I just want to clarify, make sure I have this correct and that everyone here has this correct, that all those amendments will have to be made on the floor per each resolution, and that where the amendment is moving the resolution to zero, it's not amending to zero, we'll be voting no on the resolution. Correct?
That's my understanding. I did get a text from Jonathan. Jonathan, are you on? Do you want to kind of explain that?
You're muted.
I just wanted to make sure it was clear that because it's the committee of the night of session, that despite the amendments made in committee, these amendments, and please interrupt me, Clerk Fabella, if I'm incorrect, will have to be made again on the floor and then voted on by the entire legislature. And then they would then be voted on again by the entire legislature as amended. But they will not go to the floor as amended in committee if it's voted on this evening's meeting because it's the night of.
Okay. Legislator Gavaris.
Is that true, still true even if this was a special meeting that we created?
Anytime it's the day of session, nothing can be amended in committee. It must be amended on the floor. My issue with the zero is just like a technical thing. I wish I had some more time to think it through because I really wish the resolutions that were zero would just be withdrawn. But that's not going to be the case. So I think at this point on the fly, the best thing would be to defeat it. There's no reason to pass a resolution with zero. So I think the best thing is to defeat it.
Me too.
Okay. Just some new business, and I wanted to just update everyone. You know, we did put out an RFP for our budget analysis, and from what I gather, we got a great response. We had about 7, is that correct, Amber? Companies respond to our RFP. We'd like to schedule, and I wanted to get it on everyone's calendar, a special meeting on Tuesday, June 30th, to review all of the applicants that have applied, that have responded to the RFP. We're working out with purchasing how to do this with Zoom and all of that. So I think Amber is going to take that on. Legislator Bartels.
How soon will we get their responses then?
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give everybody sufficient time to review all the packages.
So I'd like a request. I know that this is not the environmental request, but they probably sent hard copies, right? Don't they send bound hard copies? I think
they're going to do it electronically this time.
I would like my hard copy. I take notes. I flip around. I'd like my hard copies. I'll come up and get them if I need to, but I definitely would like my hard copies.
I'm sure we can arrange it. Anybody else want, while we're thinking about it, a hard copy? Okay. Chairman Donaldson, did you say you would like one? No. Okay. All right. Is there anything else? Any other business? I'll entertain
motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Mary Beth, thank you so much.